This morning's a family service, so the kids are staying in. When I told my kids that, I got, ah. That's a general response to everything in my home at the moment. And I promised that it was going to be a short sermon. So Grant laughed at me when I told him that too. He was about as convinced as my kids were. Thanks, Grant, for the vote of confidence. But it is going to be a short sermon. But I need a volunteer to start off with it. Preferably a young man of about maybe between 7 and 12. I need a young man, volunteer. So I can't choose my own son, although he's dying to know what I've been doing, because are you going to come help me? Okay, we've got a young man here. I need a chair, and you're going to sit over here. So you stand in front of the chair for a moment before you sit. Okay, so the human body is an absolutely incredible, incredible organism, and Paul at one point uses the human body to talk a little bit about the church. So one of the things that I found really helpful when talking about spiritual things is to try and find some parallel into the physical world so we can make that transition. So it's kind of hard to understand God's love, but when we can think of a really good relationship between a man and a woman, we begin to understand something of God's love for us. In fact, the Bible tells us that a good marriage is reflective of Jesus' love for us. And so I want to use this as an illustration, a human body and how amazing it is. So this young man, he's pretty small. How much do you weigh? That's how old you are. How much does he weigh, Mum and Dad? Come, Vessel. Buy him another CIA. About 25 kilos. Okay, so you could probably last about 2 weeks without food. An adult man could last about 3 weeks without food. Some of you possibly should go for about 3 weeks without food. But he's a bit scrawl, so he can probably do about 2 weeks. How long do you think he could last without water? You can last about 3 days if you're lucky. If you're stuck in the mountains, I told my kids this last night, you can drink your own urine. You can maybe last 4 days in that way, but you can only last generally about 2 or 3 days before your kidneys start packing up. How long do you think you can last without air? You can possibly do about 2 or 3 minutes. If he was really, really cold and was trapped under ice, you could probably do a bit longer. So are you ready to help me? Okay, now you can sit down. So we were on holiday now. We did some diving, and it was our first time scuba diving, which was kind of fun but kind of weird. And something that you take so for granted, like breathing, suddenly takes on a whole new paradigm. You know, when you're up above the earth, above the water, you can just breathe in, breathe out. It's really easy. When you're 10 meters down and you're sort of seeing the scary shipwreck and you stop breathing for a minute or two, things get really interesting really fast. And so you're constantly having to watch this rhythm of breathing. And so this young man is going to be our deep sea diver. So we're going to put some goggles on, and there's a reason for the goggles. It's really just to make you look a bit silly. That's the reason for it. And then I have this breathing apparatus. So he's going hunting for shipwrecks. And I want you to put this in your mouth, but you've got to keep it in your mouth. Do you think you can do that? Now you've got to keep the goggles on. The goggles are going to be over your nose. Must I make them a bit tighter? I put them on me this morning just to make sure that they fitted. So my head's a little bit bigger than yours. Let's try and make this a little tighter. So they tell us object lessons work well with kids. I think object lessons work really well with adults too. And so I'm hoping to illustrate something. You put this on, because otherwise I'm going to break your nose off. This isn't going to be good. Come on, you've got to put it on. Can't. Why can't you? Is it too small? No, it's not too small, man. Come on. If Uncle Brent can put it on, and listen, Uncle Brent's got a much bigger noggin than you. Hold on, let's do this carefully. And there we are. You look very stylish. Okay, do you think you can manage to breathe through this? No, you can't. Come on, try. Put it in your mouth. I've got a prize for you if you keep doing this. Okay, can you breathe? Can you breathe? Okay, marvelous. You're underwater now, and there's a shipwreck with treasure on it that you're going to go and try and get. So you can't take this out of your mouth, because if you do, you're going to drown. You understand? Okay, so this is really interesting. He's a little bit nervous now. If he was sitting at home, he'd be doing about 6 liters of oxygen or 6 liters of air every minute. And the surface area of his lungs is about 1/3 of the size of this building. And so the oxygen begins to move through into his body. He's a little bit nervous now, probably because you're all staring at him and because there's this pipe in his mouth, which makes it harder to breathe. So his diaphragm's working twice as hard as it should be. And he's probably doing about 10 liters of air every minute. That's 14,400 liters of air a day. And I began to think about this, that I think breathing is such a simple thing. It's such an ordinary thing that we do it 1,000 times a day without ever thinking about it. And we never have to worry about it because our brain just does it even while we sleep. And yet something so simple as breathing can be stopped really easily if someone plugs the pipe. Okay, you can take it out of your mouth now before you die. Okay, for your efforts and for your illustration, you get a chocolate. Round of applause for our young man. We used to do this to each other in the swimming pool as kids, put a hose pipe in, and then whilst your mate was trying to breathe on the bottom of the swimming pool, you'd stand on the hose pipe. And it sort of reminded me of prayer, that prayer is something that actually should be this easy rhythm, almost as easy as breathing. And yet, as easy as prayer should be, there are times when it becomes extraordinarily hard. But like breathing, when you stop doing prayer, life gets extraordinarily difficult. And in fact, our spiritual life is absolutely fundamentally dependent on us keeping this rhythm of breathing in the life that Jesus offers us. And it happens through prayer. We breathe Him in, we breathe out praises, we breathe Jesus' grace in, we breathe out worship. And it is one of those fundamental things that almost every person on the face of the planet does. We even have atheists that pray at some point. Christopher Hitchens, for those that don't know, is a well-known atheist, died recently of cancer. He was having this debate, should he allow the Christians to pray for him? And in this moment of desperation towards death, so many people find themselves praying. It becomes one of these things that is absolutely, absolutely important to our lives. So who here prays? Some of you are not putting your hands up. That concerns me. You need to come talk to Grant and me if you don't pray. A lot of us pray, and in fact, most people around the world throughout human history have prayed in some way, shape, or form, or another. And so in this little passage in 1 Thessalonians 5, you can turn to there with me. This is what the Apostle Paul says. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verses 16 through 18. And I want you to remember this, and we're going to say it a couple of times out loud, because I think this is such an important thing. Because one of the things that we want to know is God's will for us. And this passage actually tells us something of God's will for us. So won't you read it with me? Let's read it aloud. We're going to read it aloud a couple of times, okay? Rejoice always. Pray without ceasing. Give thanks in all circumstances, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. Rejoice always. Pray without ceasing. Give thanks in all circumstances, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. And this is the little part of that that is so important for me, to pray without ceasing. So about 2 or 3 minutes, you can go without breathing. Perhaps if you train yourself a little bit longer, some of the really deep sea divers, they go down without oxygen tanks. Or they try and get down as far as they can before they turn around and head back up. Can do about 5 or 6 minutes. But the reality is most of us can't live for very long without breathing. And it's true for us with prayer as well. Prayer has this power to bring life to our spirits. It has this ability to keep our bodies going. It is so important, because what happens is you eat a whole bunch of food which has got a whole bunch of carbon in it. Your body needs to burn that carbon. You create carbon dioxide, and you need to get the carbon dioxide out. It's actually not about oxygen in. Do you know that? Our breathing is not so important because of the oxygen. It's more important to get rid of the carbon dioxide. We only use about 6% of the oxygen that's in the air around us. But it's constantly getting out all of these waste products. And I think there is something to be learnt about prayer when we talk a little bit about breathing. So talk to each other for a few minutes. If you had a friend who had a really bad knock on his head and forgot absolutely everything he'd ever known, and he was in hospital with all the tubes and pipes inside of him, including something into his lungs to keep him breathing, and you had to teach him how to breathe, what would you teach a friend to do? How would you explain to somebody, how do you breathe? Talk to each other for a few minutes. What would you teach your friend to do? Okay, so does anybody have anything more profound than in, out, in, out, in, out? It's pretty much about that, isn't it? And I think prayer is a little bit like that. It's something that's so simple, yet so powerful and so important, but it's almost impossible to teach on. So what I don't want to teach you is a religious form of prayer. Have a quick look at this video. This I shot in Mufraq when we were in Jordan. Every day, five times a day, starting at 4:30 in the morning, this is what you will hear standing on the roof. So that man is called the muezzin. He's not the imam. He actually calls the people to pray. The particular guy that was at the temple just near us in the morning, there was a morning guy and an evening guy. The morning guy was particularly a haunting sound to his voice. And what happens in a lot of religions is that when we teach people about prayer, we have all of these rules about you must pray five times a day. You've got to face a certain direction. And if you don't get all of those things right, God doesn't hear your prayers. And in fact, in a lot of religions, prayer is a way that we try and appease God so that God will not get too angry with us. And as Christians, that's not what we buy into at all. So I don't want to teach you a whole bunch of rules. I don't want to tell you that you must get up at 4:30 every morning and you must get on your knees and face a certain direction and pray. And I don't want to teach you to do that five times a day. Although if you could get it right five times a day, that'd be pretty good. I mean, it's not a bad thing. But what I don't want to teach you is a religious form of prayer where day after day you get this little rhythm going. So, for example, who knows the Lord's Prayer? Kids, do you all know the Lord's Prayer? Okay, Lord's Prayer is really important, but if that's the sum total of your praying, you're a religious prayer and you need to be better than a religious prayer. Because prayer really is like talking. So sometimes you can get a bit religious in your talking. So kids, when your mum and dad, when your dad comes home from work, how does the conversation in the house go between him and mum? And you might have a religious marriage if the standard conversation is, hi, honey, how are you? I'm fine. How are you? I'm fine. How was your day? It was really nice. How was your day? That was good. What's for supper? That's a religious conversation. Do you understand this? It has this little rhythm. We know how it's going to go. We know the answers even before we ask the questions. But we do it because it's habit. And I don't want us to have that kind of prayer with Jesus. It's much deeper to talk about what brought you joy today? What made you sad today? What changed your life? What was really awkward for you? When you ask those deeper questions, you get deeper answers. And prayer with Jesus is supposed to be like that. It's a talking with Him. But I think there are some helpful things to get right when we pray. So, here's how you breathe. Okay? In. Out. Do it with me. Come on. In. Out. Very easy, isn't it? In, out. Okay, here's how you pray. Out. Not start with in, start with out. That's how prayer starts. So prayer starts, there are four things I want to teach you about prayer, okay? So out, in, out, in. You happy with this? Okay, this is like low grade stuff. Kids, can you remember that? Out, in, out, in. Not in, out, out in, out, in. It's got to be that way around, okay? So prayer starts like this. Prayer starts with worship. So we have this little rhythm. When we pray, I do it in the car sometimes, we did it last night before we went to bed. We have these four things that we do, my kids know them well. And it's this out, in, out, in. So the first one is worship. We breathe out worship. We speak about God's goodness, about God's greatness. We tell God that He's big and powerful and glorious and perfect, that He's loving, that He's always there, that He knows all things, that nothing is impossible for Him. That's worship. You're tracking with me. This is where we speak about the wonderful things that God is and the wonderful things that God does. That's worship starts, not like breathing in. Worship starts with us breathing out praises to God. You got that one? That's step one. Okay, so after out is in. Okay, so it's out worship. In, what do you breathe in? You breathe in grace and you breathe in forgiveness and you breathe in mercy. So the first thing we do is we worship. The second thing we do is we say sorry. We breathe in grace as we apologize to God, as we tell Him, Jesus, Lord, we're sorry. The standard one in my house is, sorry that we forgot to pray to You today, Lord Jesus. Sorry that we hurt our friends, Lord Jesus. Sorry that we didn't talk to them, weren't nice to mom and dad today, Lord Jesus. That's a standard prayer in our house. And as you confess your sins, what you end up doing is you're breathing in God's grace. You're breathing in God's mercy. So it starts with worship. You talk about God's goodness. You acknowledge your badness. And as you confess your sins, what God does is He presses into your life grace and mercy and healing and forgiveness. Breathe out, worship. Breathe in, grace and mercy. Breathe out. What's the third thing? It says worship, sorry. Third one is easy. Third one is thanks. Okay, so the passage even tells us that. Give thanks in all circumstances. Is it easy to give thanks when you get nice presents? Is it easy to give thanks when people love you? Is it easy to give thanks when you get a raise or get a new job opportunity or find somebody to love you for the first time? Yeah, it's easy, isn't it? And what happens when somebody leaves you? And when you lose the job? And when you don't get money, but you lose money? And when life isn't easy, but it's actually really difficult? And it's not when you're healthy, but what happens when you're sick? And the Bible says to us, we give thanks in all circumstances. So one of the things we breathe out is thankfulness to God. Thank you, Lord, that you are there all the time. Good times, bad times. When it's going well, when it's going rotten. When I can feel that you're there, thank you, Lord. When I can't, thank you that even when I can't feel you, you are there nonetheless, because the Bible promises me that. Out, worship. In, grace. Out, thanksgiving. And then the final one is, please. So now, I don't know how your prayers work, but most people tend to pray the please stuff right up front. True for you? Because it's kind of true for me a lot of the time. Until somebody taught me this, that's how my prayers used to be. Please, Lord Jesus, do this. Please, Lord Jesus, can I have this? Please, Lord Jesus, please, Lord Jesus, please. And so we're not saying you mustn't ask, and we're not even saying you mustn't ask for yourself. But there's a rhythm to learning to breathe properly. It starts with worship, then find grace, then give thanks for what God has already done over the last while, and then you start asking for stuff. Hey, Lord Jesus, would you put your Holy Spirit in my heart so that I can look more like you every day? Lord, would you watch over me? Would you guard my body? Would you guard my mind? Would you guard my spirit so that in all things I might honor you? One of the standard ones that we say please for in our house, would you please help the poor people? And then I always add on, but help us, Lord, also to help the poor people. We're not looking for magic from heaven always. We sometimes are part of God's answered prayers. One of the things that I've been trying to teach my kids, and there's an awkwardness to this, and I don't have an easy answer for it, but we have to teach our kids that not all of their friends love Jesus. Not all of my friends love Jesus. And my kids know this. I'm trying to tell them this without them judging my friends or without them blurting it out over the braai. Oh, I hear you don't love Jesus. Like, no, let's not go down that road. But I want my kids to feel the weight that not everybody does. And so one of the things we pray for is, Lord, would you come and show yourself to our friends so that they would learn to love you? It's a little bit like eating food. So who likes veggies? Hey, quite a lot of the kids like veggies. Who likes salad? Well done, healthy kids. Much better than we were when we were young. Like, to have a good diet, you need a whole bunch of things. To have a good prayer life, you need a whole bunch of things on a plate. Okay, so are potato chips nice with salt and vinegar on them? They are the best, aren't they? If you only ate them, you would weigh 400 kilos. It would roll you into worship. We'd have a little fatty's corner on this side if that was all you ate, okay? And greens are also good, but if you only ate greens, we'd have the skinny's corner on the other side. We'd have Grants, like a whole lot of emaciated skinny people on that side of the building. I got to tease you, pal. This is how it works. So look, a healthy diet has a whole bunch of everything. It has a bit of fats in it. It has a bit of carbohydrates. It has some proteins. It has some vegetables and greens. A good diet has a whole bunch of things. What I'm saying to you is that the way we need to worship God through prayer needs all of these aspects. So here it goes. Breathe out. Worship. Breathe in. Sorry. Breathe out. Thank you. Breathe in, please. It's a simple rhythm. I want to encourage you to do this in your own life as adults. Because even as adults, our own prayer life gets a bit skewed. But help your kids to do this. Help your kids to understand a healthy prayer life. So let me close with this thought. I don't want this to seem like a try harder deal. I mean, you've got to try at this. You've got to work at this. Like when you're underwater scuba diving, you've got to really concentrate on your breathing until it does become natural. 10, 15 minutes into this deal, you suddenly find yourself not thinking about what you're doing with your mouth and your lungs, but you suddenly find yourself watching the coral and the incredible amount of wildlife down there, from octopuses to all sorts of fish and crabs and hermit crabs and all these, you begin to forget about the breathing and you begin to enjoy the experience. That's how it is with prayer. But when we start praying, when we need to learn to pray, we need to do it properly. So I'm trying to teach you that. But here's the most important thing about prayer. Who is the best prayer that ever lived? Okay, the right answer to most questions in the church is generally Jesus. The Bible tells us that he prayed every morning. He took time aside with the Father, just spent time breathing in forgiveness, mercy for us, breathing out praise and thanksgiving for God's great faithfulness and asking for strength so that he could face the day. Okay, you with me on that? The Bible tells us that at the end of Jesus' life, he prayed a prayer for us. I pray not only for my disciples, but for all of those who will believe in his message. And the Bible tells us this, that even last night, while you were sleeping, Jesus was praying for you. And that brings me great rest in my own prayer life. It means when I don't get it right. It means when I forget to pray, which is a lot, I know that Jesus never forgets to pray for me. So would you build this rhythm of prayer into your life? But remember that there is one who is faithful in this deal, who prays for you day in and day out. Romans 8, you can go and read it. That Jesus is seated at the right hand of God and he prays for you all the time. And that is good news indeed. So we're going to come to the table, and before we come to the table, we're going to do prayer. And I'll lead you in a prayer, and I'll show you what it looks like just to do those four rhythms. So let's pray together. Father, you are good, and your love endures forever. You're a God who's faithful. You're a God who's slow to get angry. You're a God who is abounding in love. You're a God who does not treat us like our sins deserve. You're a God who knows all things. You're a God who is everywhere all at the same time. And you're a God who hears prayers. And we worship your holy name. Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, we worship your holy name. We want to say sorry, Lord, for a whole bunch of things. We've not lived in the way that you've wanted us to live. We've not always spoken in the way that you've wanted us to speak. We've sometimes been angry, selfish, greedy, self-focused. We've been cruel and unhelpful. And we want to say sorry, Lord Jesus. Sorry that we haven't trusted you. Sorry that we haven't trusted your promises. Sorry that we haven't always spent as much time with you as we know we could have. And so forgive us our sins. Pour out again on our lives, Lord Jesus, grace and mercy and healing for our broken hearts. We want to say thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you for the cross. And thank you for the resurrection of the dead. Thank you for the Bible that tells us the great story of how much you love us. Thank you for a church, a people that we can meet with on Sundays to praise your name, smaller groups that meet during the week where we get to learn and debate together and we begin to understand what it looks like to follow you. Thank you, Lord Jesus, for all of those people. Thank you for our friends and for our families, and for homes and for food. Thanks for the blessings of school and jobs. Thank you for South Africa, for this beautiful land that you've given to us. But Lord, there's so much we need from you. And we pray that you would pour your Holy Spirit into us. We pray that you would also pour your Holy Spirit over these elements of bread and wine, so that when we take them, they wouldn't be just bread and wine, but that they would be eternal reminders for us of your death, burial, and resurrection. We want to ask, Lord Jesus, that you would please be present with us in this meal as we take it together. May we know that we are with you. We want to pray for this country of ours, Lord. As beautiful as it is deeply broken. And we want to pray for healing in our land. We want to pray for an end to corruption, an end to poverty, end to water crises in various places, an end to some of our energy concerns. We pray, Lord Jesus, that you would bless our leaders and through them that you would bless our land. We want to pray too, Lord Jesus, for so many people in this world who are religious, who pray five times a day perhaps, but they miss the deal because they don't understand you and they don't pray to you, Lord Jesus. And there is only one way for us to come to the Father, and that is through you. And so we want to pray for the world, Lord. We want to pray for those who do not yet believe in you. We thank you for the team that went to Mafraq, Lord, and we want to pray your blessing on those full-time missionaries that remain behind, who day after day are going into the homes of unbelievers and trying to tell them that Jesus loves them. Pray that you would help them in all of that, that you would give them strength and enthusiasm for what is a very difficult job. We want to pray for ourselves, Lord, that tomorrow when we go to work or when we go to school, or whatever it is that we do, that we would be your missionaries too. So help us, we pray, to be a blessing to the world around us. And so would you put your Holy Spirit into our hearts, and would you, Holy Spirit, help us to be the kind of people Jesus wants us to be. And we thank you, Lord, that even when we get it wrong, that you're a God of grace and a God of mercy, that you are the one who prays for us, even when we forget to pray to you. And so we give you thanks and praise that we can talk to you this morning. Help us to do that regularly, as much as we breathe in and breathe out. Help us to breathe in prayer all the time. So we ask your hand upon us now. We ask this in Jesus' name and for Jesus' glory. And all of God's people agreed and said, Amen.